This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Johnson. AfterBuzz
TV. The destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Little Red Riding
Hood. This song.
Ah, looking good.
Welcome to the Blacklist After Buzz After Show.
This song.
It's Little Red Riding Hood. That's red and hood
and
in the
hood.
Title.
It should be hoodie.
Little Red Riding Hoodie.
Little Red Riding Hoodie.
Welcome to the Blacklist After Buzz After Show, folks. We're here. We got a lot of things happening. The first thing is this is our Halloween costume.
Yes, it is.
We struggled on what we're going to be for Halloween.
Yep.
And we decided we would go in disguise.
Just
like Liz.
Slap on a hoodie, folks.
just like Liz and old Tom Keene.
Oh, yes.
We disappear into our environment with our
with hoodies. A hoodie with my red hair flying, or blonde hair flying, if
and
I were Lizzie.
I have my sort of reddish cashmere hoodie in honor of
cashmere.
Reddington.
Oh, look
yes,
at
Michael,
you.
Sorry, I threw that in there.
Oh.
That was my cashmere.
It's just my old cashmere hoodie.
Blacklist After Buzz After Show, episode five. Antioch Crane? Kane.
Ariok Kane.
Close enough. Ariok Kane.
Ariok Kane.
Thank you for joining us, guys. We're so happy to have you. We have half of what we promised. We are here on a Friday, so we did get that up. We did get that accomplished.
Yep.
And then we all decided we were going to make it here on Friday. We all promised that we would be here on Friday for you.
Swore to the high holy heavens.
And right before tape, I got a text from our good friend Joe Sanfilippo, who said he's wearing his hood, but he just would not be here.
He's
stuck.
Maybe he is here and we just don't recognize him because he's wearing his hoodie.
He's incognito. Joe Sanfilippo will be back next week or I will kill him personally with my bare hands.
God.
And shove him in the trunk like Tom Keene did the Russian. but he will be here. In his defense, he's working on a kind of a giant big project and he's got some voiceover, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
I want to hear it because we're here.
We're here.
I was trying to get a look at myself. I must look ridiculous.
I think you look fantastic.
All right. I can't see.
In your cashmere.
All right. Oh, yeah. That's right. My cashmere. Mm-hmm. Ariok Kane.
Yep.
Number 50 on the blacklist.
Number 50. That's a nice round number.
I really enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed this episode more than I thought. This is kind of the Blacklist triumphant return to action. We talked about how it has been sort of like more on the mystery, sort of, you know, twisty-turny side. This was a full-blown action thriller show. We had a foot chase. We had a rooftop chase, a hanging out the roof, the old hang out the roof thing. We had a sniper. We had cars. We had a Mexican standoff in an airport hangar.
True.
We had all kind of shit jumping off. Like
true.
Gunplay. Like, it was an action-packed episode.
Many deaths.
Many deaths.
Many gunshots.
We have the obligatory 12 hours earlier scene,
you know,
like, you know, which was a little misdirect there, which, you know, obviously we all knew that was a misdirect.
I hope we all knew that was a misdirect.
You know, I knew it was a misdirect because as I saw Elizabeth Keene's dead body lying in the blood.
Yeah, Brett.
I just thought, what a fine acting job by Megan Boone. No, I love Megan Boone.
We love her. Absolutely love her.
I didn't believe she was dead.
No.
Put it that way. Let's just leave it at that. So Ariok Kane. So, and also in the tradition of what this season has been, a little bit twisty-turny. Like, I've been talking about how it's been this, like, it's not really the djinn. The djinn is not the djinn. The djinn's not a djinn. The djinn's a dude. Da, da, da. The same thing here. It's not really about Winnebago. I'm just kidding. That's
Winnebago.
okay, keep going Winnebago.
Wendigo.
Wendigo. It's not about Wendigo, who I thought when I described Wendigo at the beginning, I was like getting super excited because it's very Kaiser Soze, right?
Yes.
Yeah. He's like, you know, his presence is always felt, but he's never seen. It's like, what's worse than the Cabal? Wendigo.
Wendigo.
I was like, oh, no.
I thought the Wendigo would have a place on the blacklist. I feel like he should have. Like, he's been around. He has done some ish.
He's got the Psalms 1:1. Yeah. Blessed is the one who walks in the council of the wicked.
That is so blacklister in the making. I feel like it should have been Wendigo number 50.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
In Projectile, I'm like No Country for Old Men.
Yeah,
I thought this guy's got all the movies. He's like Kaiser Soze awesome. And Javier Bardem.
Yes,
and everyone mixed into one, and then boom, he gets thrown off a roof.
He does. And we spend half of the time chasing him. More than half the time chasing him. It was all about Wendigo. But then, oh nope, Ariat Kane.
Yeah,
number 50. Fine.
Wendigo off the top of a roof. That's where he went.
Oh, all right. No.
That's really bad. Oh, so, yeah, dear. I mean, I was really excited about Wendigo, but we had a lot of action, is what I was trying to say. I was getting at. We had a lot of action. We had, I was getting into that. I'm sorry, the misdirect. We thought it was all about Wendigo, and then we found out it was really all about the website Ariat Kane. Then we find out that we found the guy from the website. It's not really the guy. It's another guy. We get to the other guy. We found out it's not that guy. It's actually his daughter. You know, so it's a little twisty game with the twists and turns. And she would have gotten away with it.
If it wasn't for those pesky kids.
And the dumb dog, Red Reddington. So what did you think of this episode? Because I talk a lot and I talked a lot. I want to hear from you.
I like it when you talk a lot.
So, right.
I enjoyed this episode. I wouldn't say it's my favorite episode of this season, but it was still action-packed and it was fun and it definitely took us for a ride. I was enjoying, you know, we talked a lot last week about these kind of focused storylines, story plots that we're following when we're talking about Tom or Liz and Reddy. Liz and Reddy. Head on the seat.
My guy, Reddy.
What you get when you get me Friday in the morning.
Already.
Liz and Reddy. It's my pet name for him.
Sure.
I really was loving the stuff with Wrestler this episode.
Yeah, we have a lot for Wrestler to do this time.
Yeah.
We got some acting there.
Yeah, so it was a fun episode. You know, you like the action packed ones. They're not always my favorite ones.
I like it when it's done. I just feel like it really was moving a lot, and then it gave us a lot. But my favorite part of this episode, we discussed it. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
What were you going to say?
I was going to say my favorite part of this episode is our boy Aram. This was a really spectacular Aram episode.
Absolutely.
Aram got like a bunch of great lines in, a bunch of laugh out loud lines.
An awkward hug.
Awkward hug in. I love how he called the people who are trying to kill Lizzie Clean a bunch of haters.
They're haters.
They're haters. They hate us because they hate us. Hating on my girl Lizzie King with their bitcoins.
What I loved this episode though was Red. This was Red who was losing his grasp. Yeah. It feels like he's juggling too much. He's usually, we always talk about him being, you know, 15 steps ahead everyone else, but he certainly was not. He got duped.
Yep.
It was just too much for him, and he couldn't handle it. He panicked.
Yeah.
That's a Red that we haven't seen yet.
No, I 100% agree. Red was great. Wrestler was great. We got some little Navabi. Looks like she's cracking a little bit. Do we get to get an insight as to what she's doing?
No.
Where she's leaning?
I don't know.
So lots to talk about.
She was funny this episode. Not like funny haha, but funny. Like she was just some of the lines that she had in this episode were very stoic and poetic, and the way that she delivered her lines. I don't know. I love me some more.
Wait, hold on.
Give me some more. Some more.
Hold on 1 second here. I agree. I agree 1,000%. And I smart. And then, what's the other thing I'll say? Oh, and then we get a little more of the director, you know, sneaking in there and kind of lurking around and being extra creepy.
And we just love him.
Yeah. And then at the end, he was very like, very Red Reddington with the cake pops.
Ah, yes.
Love cake pops. I agree.
He was quite the villain.
He was,
I'd love a tour.
I mean, he was like doing a victory lap. A little smug there, huh?
Uh-huh.
Well, of course, it works for me, wrestler. What do you think? I'll have a tour. I love you doing the place.
And we have a new character, too. We have Laurel Hitchin.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. With, what's her name? Oh, God. Christine Lottie?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I have
I have it somewhere.
I think it's Christine Lottie, whom I love and adore. If it's not her, whatever. Anyways, I love her and adore her.
She is exactly... Christine Lottie.
Yes. See, Christine Lottie. Love and adore her. Yeah.
And she's just the chairman. Mm-hmm. So we have the chairman and the director. So that's cool. And then the deputy attorney general.
Well, she's the president's national security advisor.
Right. But her title on IMDb is the chairman.
The chairman.
We have the director, the chairman, and the deputy attorney general. That's all we know. That's all we have. That's all we need. Okay, so let's break this episode down because we found out what's happening with the whole dizzy, the whole.
You can't do it either. You wanted us Friday mornings.
The whole Dembe
dizzy and ready.
The whole Dembe Mr.
Vargas
situation.
Mm-hmm.
We do get our first appearance of the lovely Mr. Kaplan, which was very good.
Oh.
We do get some insight as to an appearance from Mr. Solomon, which was kind of cool. We still got the whole Tom thing to talk about. Tom's on the move. He's in.
He's in.
He's in deep, deep cover, doing whatever he has to do to get Lizzie safe. And Lizzie seems to, at least not doing too many things that were annoying this episode. She didn't really I think she said one thing and I was like, look, Lizzie. But
she ditched the phone.
Oh, I wrote that down.
Lizzie, what's going on? What's going on?
Lizzie, first thing first, drop the phone. It's like, anyway.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, so let's get, we open this episode, we see the bodies everywhere, Mr. Kaplan doing her job,
mm-hmm.
and Liz, and Red saying, oh, I want to see I want everyone to know what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
The press knows everything. We get a tease to our girl Ariat Kane on the opening scene.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of cool.
Daddy, they got her. They finally got her.
Yeah, so that was kind of a cool little moment there that we had all the evidence we needed as to what happened at the open. And then we got the obligatory 12 hours earlier. It took us back to what was going on earlier. I kind of just jumped into it. We never really got how Red knew that old Winnebago was after her. Do we know how that had happened? It just was like they're walking around. He's like, we got to move. Winnebago's here. Do we know what happened there? I just feel like it just happened.
That's a good question. I feel like it just happened too. But that's okay. He knows all.
Yeah. Anyway, he's Red. So we got into that. And then we just jump right into this sort of cool, sort of, perpetually moving action story from there. Lizzie act that she handled that pretty well. I mean, the whole, except for she's saying worse, is it the cabal? No, it's not the cabal. It's worse than the cabal.
What could be worse? The Wendigo.
Yes. I liked all that stuff. I'm repeating myself here, but I liked all that stuff. And then before that, let's take along these lines like we did last time. We'll go back. We'll circle back around to Tom, aka Matt Buckley.
Mm-hmm.
So we find out about this. She goes. We go to get her safe. We go to move her.
Yep.
With the rest of two guys, and then we get a shot to the face. Pretty graphic, headshot for network TV. I thought.
You think?
I don't know.
I feel like I'm a little desensitized to it.
I mean,
we've seen some pretty gory things on network TV as
Hannibal,
of late.
Of course. But
even on this show, we've seen some pretty gruesome deaths.
Yeah, I guess so. But a headshot to the face is And then the other guy was a little inept, right? She's like, and when Lizzie's like, stay here, I got this. Bam, he's dead.
Yes. Well, she also knew. I mean, Red sort of described to her how dangerous the Wendigo really was.
Right.
I think these guys were just movers, literally. That was their job, just to transport her from point A to point B.
Right.
They think they're pretty badass and can take out anyone that they need to. I don't think they really understand the high-level assassin that they're dealing with here.
Right, I agree. And then I will give it to her. Lizzie's escape was pretty daring and pretty
cool. It was
cool.
Pretty great.
Yeah, with the
Thank
with the
God
mirror.
She knows how to trip a car.
Exactly.
That's the second time this season.
Maybe third, isn't it?
Perhaps.
Yeah, we got wheels.
We got wheels.
And then there was another, I thought she stole another car. I mean, that's her thing now. She steals cars. which I think is cool.
But no, that was a great escape.
Great escape.
You know, Lynn following behind the mirror, following behind the taxi.
Yeah. So Liz Keene is a little more resourceful. That's some.
She's getting gutsy. You know, she has it in her.
She's got a little Masha in her.
A little Masha. Little Rostova.
Little Masha Rostova coming out. So I thought that was very cool. And I think so that all happened. We got rid of that. And then once she thought about it, she decides. I love. By the way, how come? I know they have burner phones all the time, but I'm a bit alarmed at how often Red and Lizzie call the FBI. Like, it just feels like they're just on the horn with the FBI at any given moment. Like, you know what? Hello, FBI? Wait, Liz, is that you? Yeah, it's me. Like I don't know.
Their personal cell phones, Navabi's, wrestlers.
Don't they have a move like, you know like in all the other like FBI thrillers when someone calls and it's like, hello? Yeah, it's me, Lizzie. Tracker. Hello, Lizzie. Tracker. Like, they don't do that move? I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know how it all works.
I don't know how that works either. In the movies.
Anyway, so she calls Navabi.
Calls Navabi, who's on the scene.
Right, but before she calls Navabi, she makes sure to go undercover. She dons the hood.
I'm pretty sure she's wearing exactly what I'm wearing right now.
She dons the hood.
Nice black leather jacket.
Yes.
Hood.
Yeah, we picked up that outfit.
Can you see me?
Yes. I don't know. You could be anyone right now.
Can you see me? Can you find me?
I have no idea who you are. You could be Joe Sanfilippo.
Anyone.
So she dons the hood and goes incognito, which mm-hmm. is totally, and then calls Navabi and gives her, you know, the evidence. What is she? I'm sorry.
So she calls Navabi because she was sort of piecing it together. Because remember, she was an FBI agent, piecing together where the shots came from, that there's a hotel there, sort of giving her a little help in finding this Wendigo guy.
Right.
And Navabi finds the bullet with the Psalm 1-1 on it, which was pretty great that she knew what it was, which was, "Blessed is he who walks not in the counsel of the wicked."
That's right.
And she also says you have to take responsibility for what you've done. This is sort of going back to Navabi from the last episode, or maybe it was two episodes ago, where she's not really Team Lizzie. She's all about, you know, crime and punishment.
Don't you think you should turn yourself in for what you did?
And she says, yes, but not, or take responsibility. Yeah. And she says, I do, but not for the things that I didn't do.
Ooh, in your face, Navabi.
Boom.
She'd never come back for that.
No, she didn't.
She's like, dude, I gotta go. Like, so I will reiterate this. I feel like it was a waste of a character / blacklister in the Wendigo. I like, is that his name?
Wendigo.
The Wendigo. The Wendigo. I like the idea of like the mythology they created around him was very cool.
Absolutely. I love the way that they described him. You know, he was the myth of a nameless assassin. You know, that's cool. Yeah. That is a blacklister.
And the bullet and that thing. I was getting so excited. I was like, what
he hunts targets that he deems unfit for society. This is a blacklister, guys.
Yeah, homemade projectiles. Psalm
1-1. Totally.
Ooh, anyway. So they end up tracking him down or tracking him to. Go ahead.
Before that, can we talk about Lizzie and Red reuniting? That moment in the car?
Yeah.
That hug, the panic between the both of them.
Yes.
Fascinated by that.
Yeah. That this is kind of like what I want to get to with Mr. Solomon's kind of talking to the audience, essentially talking to Joe Sanfilippo, talking to all of us out here, sort of saying like, some people think you're mother, daddy, whatever.
Daddy, daughter, daddy, May, daughter. September.
Sometimes May, September. I think
a little bit of both.
I'm like, oh.
Oh, do you, yeah. Mr. Solomon?
Mr. Solomon. What did you make of that? Because it felt like a little bit of both.
I don't know. I mean,
is it the way Megan Boone played it? Or is it the way...
You mean that one moment? Or what do I think their relationship is?
Well, that moment in the car when she's like...
That moment
the bullets were so close. I can hear them whizzing by. It's okay to you.
I know.
They whiz.
Shh.
They whiz.
Pat. Shh.
Yeah. Was that like...
I'm here.
That was very parental and also...
It was very parental.
Also a little like, you know, I don't know.
I don't know. But, you know, I was watching very closely his reactions to Dembe throughout mm-hmm. this whole episode. And that was very parental.
Right.
That was way more parental than I've ever seen him be towards Lizzie.
Sure. Especially the embrace at the end there. That was really cool. I don't know, man. That I thought that was a little something.
It was something.
A little something. I don't know exactly what that was, but so we had that moment and they get reunited. And then, but I do like the whole finding out about when they find out about the site itself, the Navabi and Aram conversation about the site,
the Dead Not Alive site.
Yeah, is it deadnotalive.com? What's it called?
.org, I think.
.org, yeah, .org, which is a horrible name, which is also like
Dead Not Alive.
Yeah, .org, and then Navabi's like, is that the name? Almost like they're making fun of itself, but also a hint that this is created by. Maybe a little girl, because it's like, that's a dumb name.
Well, it wasn't created by a little girl. Sorry, it wasn't created by a little girl. No, she submitted Lizzie to Dead Not Alive,
Gavin Delgado's yes, site.
That's his site.
Okay, well then, Gavin Delgado, that's a lame name.
Yeah, it is.
DeadNotAlive.org?
.org.
Like, that's the name?
I love .org.
I don't know. So they find out it's this guy, Devlin Delgado. They find us at the same time because Red and Lizzie go to.
They're separate things. Okay. So Red and Lizzie are. They find the guy who makes the Wendigo's weapons.
That's right.
Zed. Right? He goes by Zed.
Who has the wonderful.
Zed's dead, baby. Yes. Zed's dead. And he really is.
Yes, he is.
I love that movie.
Pulp Fiction.
I love that movie.
Keys.
Anywho, so that's where they go.
Yeah.
To sort of get an inkling as to where they could find the Wendigo.
Yeah. Okay. So then they get there and they question him, and then we get a red monologue about, you know, elephant hunting and also a little bit of morality. Like, I don't shoot elephants. I shoot poachers.
I loved her reaction. You know, they had this gun on people. They'd be killing people left and right. You shot an elephant?
Yeah. No.
God, no.
I shot a poacher. Like, oh, okay. Boom, boom, boom. I got it. So
he gives up a place where the Wendigo might be, where he knows that he has, you know, worked before. So they go there, and Lizzie sort of lost her touch as a break-in artist, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Fumbles with the thing at the thing, and it falls and shoots through the door, and that's when the chase starts.
Yeah, and the chase ensues. I mean, it's a good chase. You know, not anything we've seen before. A little foot chase and then a little rooftop chase.
Jumping off some ledges.
I like her barking orders at Red. Like, take the stairs! Like, I got him. I mean, I don't know. And also, I was a little disappointed. Like, the promise of the Wendigo didn't fulfill the actual Wendigo himself.
Well, that's because he wasn't a blacklister.
Yeah, the Wendigo is just like a dude in a beard. He's like the guy, you know, he works at Best Buy or something. Yeah. Like, he's not like, you know, he's not like this mysterious Kaiser Soze guy. He's like, whoa, I'm the Wendigo! I gotta go! I was like, eh. I don't know. I was a little disappointed in the actual.
And he didn't really have any information.
No,
he was just an assassin. He's sitting there hanging off of a ledge.
Yeah.
And Red asks, and he says, tells Red, I'm not the only one. They're coming after you.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Which I love as a twist because within, again, that's another sort of, well, again, the way they're plotting out these scripts are interesting, all these twists. It's like, not only, first they say the super assassin of all assassins is after Lizzie and he will not stop a la Terminator until she's dead. And then they find him, they're like, phew, got him out of the picture. And it's like, actually, every super assassin won't stop until they get you. That's because you're on the list. And it's like, oh, I thought that was kind of a cool twist. And then her looking around and seeing, like, you know, guys in baby carriages and weird people putting things in trash cans. I like that. I like the way they
Yeah, I like that too. That. Can't trust anyone.
No. So then they find out it is Aram and Navabi find out about Delvin Delgado. Is that correct, or does Lizzie and how does Gavin Delgado information get to them?
I think it's Aram who figures out who started the site.
Right.
Someone figures out and they bring him in.
They bring him in and then
out that she is worth $700,000 for her head.
I love that the wonderful interrogation scene where Navabi's in there and he's super smug. What is it? First of all, I just want to say, like, in the name of, not that I'm a hacker, but there's been just a plethora of hackers being depicted in television these days, and kind of like these new breed of like these Edward Snowden types. Like, this is happening in Homeland. It's, I don't know if you're watching Homeland. Happening in Homeland. It's happening here. You know, you have Mr. Robot's a hacker. So, like, I one thing I hate is, like, I don't know. I feel like they never sort of get these types right. They're always. I didn't like the way they presented Gavin Delgado. Not that he was righteous or not righteous, but he's clearly supposed to be like a freedom of information. Like, hey man, I just want to put my job is to put all the information out there, and people can do what you want with them. And I don't know what I'm even saying, but I didn't like
it. You didn't like it? I kind of did, actually.
I like the idea of it, but I just
I know. Well, fatigued. You know, like with those a lot of these hackers, they think that they're unstoppable, you know? He had that smugness to him until there's a ROM.
I guess it feels like the sort of the Hollywood's view of what these guys are as opposed to what they really are. All my hacker friends are way cooler than that.
Are they?
Kidding. No, actually way less cooler than that, but that's the other thing. No, so I don't know. It's whatever. But he's got that whole thing, and he's in there with Avabi, and he's dropping code, and he's dropping all these different, like, slangs, and whatever. I forget, but then right down the line when she says, well, take her off, and like, we'll do it for you. And she's like, not unless you know of code 573.3, do you? Get out of here. That's when Aram's like,
maybe. And that's when I'm Navabi. I'm like, ugh.
Yes. I did love... Navabi's like, I can't, you know, I don't know what to do. And what does Aram say? I thought you did great.
Oh, God. He's such a puppy.
I thought you did great in there.
You did great.
But maybe I should try. Let me do the heck at it. And he did great.
He did great. Yeah. I mean, those are two like-minded people talking.
His killer checkmate line of, like, I know your dark web. Dark web PSP is cached on multiple servers, but I've got a virus canceled via rootkit. Like, whatever he said, I'm like, huh?
At that point, I just figured, I'm not supposed to know what he's talking about. Right. I'm just supposed to know that this was his checkmate move.
But it's also like, yeah, Ram, talk that shit, Ram. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're saying, yeah, do that. And it seemed to work, which I thought was kind of cool. So, you know, Ram was very useful.
Right, he's figured it out. He figured out that it was a two-key system.
Yeah, and it was also like his idea to sort of get out of from behind the terminal and actually into, you know, into interrogating someone. So... And he seemed to get the information out. So then, Liz and Red sort of figure out the same thing, that they go back and double back to
Zed's crib. Zed's place.
And this is when I see it. I get a real sense that, like, you forget that Red is not effing around. He's killing folks. Mm-hmm. He pushed, Winnebago off the ledge.
Winnebago.
He came in there and got the information from Zed and popped Zed.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's like... Red killed like three or four people in this episode.
Probably more.
Right.
This is desperate Red.
Yeah.
You know, when you can't trust anyone, everyone is after Lizzie. There's a price on her head. I mean, when he first met Zed, he thought that Zed was just a guy who makes weapons. Now he realizes that he too is a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
So it could be and probably is everybody.
Right. Well,
he can't take that risk.
He can't take that risk. So I like how even beforehand he makes the call. Oh, he goes and visits Wrestler for the help. And I thought that was a cool scene.
Oh, at NA, at Narcotics Anonymous?
Yeah, NA, and they had this sort of exchange about, like, you know, the steps, step four versus step two. And I thought that was kind of a cool exchange. And that's when you sort of first get the real... First, Wrestler was giving the whole, like, well, you know, if we can't find her, they can't find her. It's like, no, dude. Like, they'll find her.
Yeah.
And it's when we first see the bit of the melting of Wrestler. Finally, Wrestler's like, okay. That's the first time we see that maybe he's, like, not the first time, but I really get a sense that he's maybe interested more in keeping Lizzie safe than upholding the thing.
Is also the first time, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the first time that he's actually seen Red in person. He's been hunting him for 5 episodes now, and now here he is.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's in front of you.
Missing him.
Yeah, just missing him or phone calls. And his entire purpose has been to find Red and Lizzie.
Right.
But now here he is in front of him, and he doesn't really make a move to arrest him or to bring him in. Lets him give his spiel, makes a phone call, says, officer down, you have 4 minutes.
Right. And that's how they get all the information.
Yes.
That leads to the bringing in of Galvin Delgado, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, right? Or no?
Maybe. I don't know. But it was a big turning point for Wrestler,
right.
I believe.
Right, I agree too.
And a little confusing why he didn't make a move.
So we have all of that, and that was this was all happening within the course of 12 hours. So that's why this is sort of a breakneck episode as to what happened and how and why. So once they got through all that, they realize that they're on the run and try to shut down the guy. And he goes and kills the other guy in cold blood. Zed.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's time to go in. It's time to meet up with Dembe, who's used a protocol.
Yeah, Dembe has made contact using protocol, so they have to meet with him.
But it's not Dembe, of course. It's good old
Mr. Vargas.
Mr. Vargas, who, you know, old Pee Wee.
God.
Not MF.
That guy.
Yeah. So, and I like that scene, you know, when he calls up and he's really solemn on the Niven line, and they go to the hangar. I sort of like that scene. I liked everything about that misdirect, and I like the idea of them getting to the hangar and then Mr. Solomon showing up and there being a standoff. I quite enjoy that. It's kind of a little corny and cliche as it was. I kind of enjoyed that sequence. Them putting their weapons down, them starting to torture Lizzie. I'm not quite sure of the plausibility of the rescue of Dembe driving the guy in and coming in and John Wicking everyone down, pop, mm-hmm. pop, 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 pop. But I loved it. I thought it was cool.
I loved it too. I loved it. I really did. Still don't understand what Lizzie's purpose is in general.
Yeah.
I'm a little confused.
Well, Mr. Solomon came in. He said like a lot of things, like, you know, and I don't know. What is it? What is her purpose?
I don't know.
To get to Red?
But he has her. He has him now. Anywho, I don't know. I was a little confused because he was just going to kill her right there.
Right.
So it's more about Red than it is Elizabeth Keene, according to Solomon.
Right. But at this point, Liz is off the table because they've already framed her and they want her dead. So as far as the Cabal is concerned, as far as like anyone else, but Red's sole purpose is to keep Lizzie Keene, to exonerate Lizzie Keene and to keep her alive because he cares about her.
So who are Mr. Solomon's enemies that he has to prove himself to by torturing her and killing her in such a way?
I'm assuming they have nothing to do. That's a good question then. I don't know.
I don't know. Do you guys know?
I don't know. Who are Mr. Solomon's enemies?
I don't know.
If not Red.
Were you surprised by Red like I was that he wasn't on to Mr. Vargas?
Yes, because when he did that little move, like, we will avenge our brother.
Avenge him, yes. This good man. I was like, oh, yeah, he's totally on. And then he just passes the phone. Hey, call Edward for me, will you?
Right.
Make sure he has the plane ready. Like, he never questioned him.
I feel like, I would like to believe that he knew all of that. He was on top, but I wish there was a line or two to say it.
But he wasn't.
He wasn't.
He was not. He was
weird.
Totally duped.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. That is a weird little...
Pee-wee.
Yeah, well, that's weird, huh?
I was hoping that maybe it was like a double undercover sort of thing and Vargas was really working for Red the whole time.
That's what I thought.
But it wasn't so.
No, because he just shot him.
And you, bam.
Cold-blooded.
Yes.
Cold-blooded.
What have you done? When he realized, when he says, where's Edward? When he said, where's Edward? I was like, fudge.
Yes.
He doesn't know. Yeah. They're not in on this together.
Ugh. That's a bummer.
Fudge.
Or when he shot. Well, I was actually okay with it until he shot him, and then I'm like, oh well, fudge.
Fudge.
I'm like, and this is where Pee-wee goes, did I do okay? But like, you know, you didn't have to shoot me that hard. But no, he just shot him dead.
Shot him dead. So, yeah, I was. I mean, you're right. It's very out of character. But this was a lot of out of character for Red in this episode.
Yeah.
This was Red over
what
his head.
Make of this. Okay, so Red over his head. I like that. Mm-hmm. So that was, we had a lot of that. So then after that, we find out that the only way to get Red, to get Lizzie off this list is for her to be dead. And so they decide to fake Lizzie's death, which brings us to the opening. And they bring in Mr. Kaplan, and they lay her down, and they pose her up. And through some spectacular acting, Liz Keene, pretends to be dead.
Plays dead.
And they take the pictures, and it's all over the press, and... the little girl who we now we'll call her AC for now was very elated. They get the IP address. They go to the place. It's not the dude. It's actually the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it kind of goes off the rails for me a little bit. I like the twisty turny part of it, but I don't know that like Liz talking the girl off the ledge and then. You killed my mom and then getting her off that list. I didn't buy any of it.
I have a question, though.
Yeah.
If they, and I might answer my own question in working this through. If the world thinks that Lizzie Keene is dead, what does it matter if she's on or off that list?
Good point.
Who cares? Everyone thinks she's dead. People aren't going to be hunting her down anymore.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So why are they so desperate to take me off this list? Take me off this site. You have to take me off this site. Why? You're already dead to the world.
Good point. Just like another this felt like there's a similar thread happening in a show called Homeland, which I won't spoil, but interesting. That's a good point. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyhow, so that exchange was she and little
maybe
Blair.
Maybe they want to collect that $700,390.
Yeah. And who's going to get that? Where'd that money go?
I don't know. That the haters Bitcoined up. Any crowdsourcing.
So they made it look like the Wendigo is the one who killed her, right? Because they used his bullet.
Yes, the Wendigo is the guy and the bullet.
So is the FBI just going to take that money?
Maybe. I don't know.
All those Bitcoins?
Burning questions. I don't know the answer to any of these.
That's okay. You guys probably will. Let us know.
Please let us know. Okay, so that's the end of that, presumably. Mr. Kaplan comes in with a chainsaw and some acid and a bunch of other stuff to clean up. That's the first time we actually really get to see her.
Oh, I love her.
Like, start to get going at work. But let's switch, just shift gears back to Tom. I'm just looking at the loose ends section of the EW recap, and they said that. So the 14-year-old girl with the pink highlights is number 50 on the blacklist.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree.
I don't know. It says, so who put Liz's body page up? Haters, according to Aram.
Haters is the best.
Yeah, haters.
Haters, bro.
Yeah, haters, bro. All right.
I can only say that when I'm wearing a hoodie, by the way.
Let's go back to this whole Matt Buckley thing. So,
okay.
Tom turns into this guy, the fake guy. I forget his name. The rich guy named that was
Oh fake. Asher Sutton.
No, Asher Sutton is the guy, but what was Tom's name before he was Buckley?
I forget.
Anyway, so he turned into that guy, gets exposed on purpose by Asher Sutton, turns into Matt Buckley, you know.
A townie.
Just a townie. Kept his accent a little bit. And
a little bit.
Now, who's hotter? Is the fake Tom, the high society Tom with the fake watch, rolling the dice in the tuxedo or in the suit, hotter? Or is Matt Buckley the townie who's a little rougher on the edges? Like, what's the hotter Tom Keene?
Well, it's the same. It's the same guy.
No, because one guy was like,
yeah, but it's all the same character. He created that character for Asher Sutton to expose him. It's all the same character.
It is the same character, but I'm saying, like, the guy who came in when he's playing the games, talking that big game, is a different type of guy than Matt Buckley.
I know, but it's all the same guy.
I'm just saying.
It's all Matt Buckley. And
this is like...
So it's like uber hot.
Okay, got it.
There's your answer.
There's my answer. It's wrapped up. So he's capable of all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Keep you on your toes. Keep a girl on her toes.
So he's Matt Buckley. So even Cooper's like, so what are you doing? Like, you're doing what now? And what do you think of this whole infiltration plan?
I mean,
it's getting thinner and thinner for me. But
I don't really know how he figured out that Asher Sutton was the key to finding Kerakut. Like, I don't really know how he put that together, but he's Tom Keene. He's super spy. Like, he knows things we don't know.
Yeah.
It's just funny to me that this was the only course of action to get into this Russian criminal ring.
Right. Keene's good at his job. So,
he is. I trust him.
All right.
But we meet the fiance.
What do you make of her?
I think she's all about Tom Keene or Matt Buckley. She was pretty flirty. I don't blame a girl.
Yeah. I mean, she's like, Asher, Smasher. Like, yeah, she's out of Asher. She's very much seemed to be about Tom Keene.
Yeah.
I did like the move. The move when he's like, I'll take care of the Russian. And the Russian pulls a gun on Tom. And Tom does the like...
Bang bang,
and shoots him. That was kind of
cool. Yeah, that was cool.
I'm in it all this whole sub line.
I am too. It's fun.
Okay.
So, don't really get it. I don't know how plausible it is, but I'll suspend belief.
And so let's reverse back to the political. What's happening with Wrestler? So Wrestler's called to the committee, and gets grilled a little bit.
Yep.
And the director gets lightly grilled.
Lightly.
And then it's revealed that the director is actually going to come in and start running the shots, and they're all going to cooperate.
That they have to cooperate.
The first question is, I think we know where the deputy district attorney's, if she's the real deal or not. I'm assuming we think a deputy attorney general is the real deal. What do we make of the chairman, Christine Lottie?
Hitchin? I think she is definitely errs more on the side of the director and the cabal.
Do you think she's on the cabal? Or do you think?
I mean she was very, very quick to dismiss it. You know, she was the first one who referred to it sort of as like a 25-year-old stats, and the director referred to it as a relic.
Yeah.
You know, when they're debunking the whole fulcrum and the whole cabal. I don't know if she was just, if she's been duped by the director. Maybe,
I don't know that she's a bad guy. Because she's like, we're not going to repeat the mistakes of 9/11. Like, she's an interesting wild card. I don't know.
But she also, you know, she was so nice to Wrestler in the beginning and giving him a little swag bag from the bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then when he finally gets in front of the committee, when he finally gets in front of the committee, then she starts grilling him. And the, I forget her name, the, what'd you call it, deputy attorney?
Yeah, the deputy attorney
general. Attorney general. The one thing she said to him is, it's just give them the facts. Don't give them any opinions. And she forced him, Hitchin forced him. Did I say that right? Hitchin forced him to give an opinion. Do you think she's innocent? And he kept on trying to say, not my job, not my job. But what do you think?
Right.
He goes, yeah, I think she's innocent.
Right.
And I want to bring her in. Yes. And I want to bring her in so she could stand trial because, what did he say? Something like there are not 12 Americans who would not see that she was innocent.
Right.
The worst paraphrase of all time. But okay. You get the gist.
I get the gist. So that's that. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
But then she was super nice to the director when he was on the stand and let him just say everything about the cabal, the conspiracy, and irrelevant
almost like,
relic.
Let's get this on the record. You think she's innocent, right? Let's get this on the record. You think he's a liar. Okay, good. Mission accomplished.
Yeah. So, now work together.
Yeah, exactly. I'm very suspicious. So we'll see. We'll see this whole thing sort of plays out. I like the episode, man. We're doing it.
Yeah, it was fun.
I want to give a shout out to some of our folks. Again, VF Church musician, Jasmine Delight, Tara Kay, thank you very much. Performing guys, Mahogany 1985, of course, Dave 15555, Langley M. Neely, good to see you back. Holistic Health and Healing, of course, Janice Klein, all of our regulars, Rika, which I can never pronounce, Hestia, which I can never pronounce as well, but it's great to get to have you. I know that, you know, Tom versus Jacob, I forgot about Jacob, Hestia brought up things. He's actually Jacob.
That's right.
But, you know, I don't know. He's what's his name? Max?
Matt.
Matt, okay. Soprano Ascends, Christine, William Francis Collette, Jay Thomas, and thank you all for listening and watching and checking us out.
Wait, I have to say, yes. Jeremy Richards on Twitter gave some of the best Blacklist cocktails.
Oh, yes.
What do you say? Some margarita.
Yes.
It's a good one.
Some margarita.
So good.
The gin and Coke. The gin and tonic.
Gin and tonic.
The gin and tonic.
A rum and Coke.
A rum and Coke. Yeah. What was the first one? Some
margarita. So good,
those
Jeremy.
Jeremy.
Keep them coming. I love it.
Yeah, those were all great Blacklist
cocktails.
Maybe
we should start drinking
them
here.
We didn't really get it. I guess in this instance, we didn't get a chance to... The Blacklist wasn't really said that much, right? In this one.
Not really.
We didn't really get...
Because we didn't really know who it was until...
Yeah, to the very end.
To the very, very end.
We would have been very sober if we did the drinking game.
I know.
Well,
that's no fun. Ariok Kane.
Ariok Kane.
Which, you know, I was wondering where this little 14-year-old girl came up with that name.
Yeah, I wonder what
it does mean fierce lion in Hebrew. Ariok does.
Okay. All right.
But, I don't know.
All right.
That's a pretty lofty name for...
If you say so.
14-year-old girl.
Oh, and on iTunes, of course. I don't know. What do we have on iTunes? People are wonderful. Joey 1957, thanks. Oh, and Peaches Flossberg, thank you very much. And Tycoon Juan, and thank you very much. And so, thank you for listening and watching. Oh, this.
What?
This.
What's that?
Are we doing this?
Nope.
Okay, good. that's all we get. Predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I predict I'm going to ask Julie to go first.
Oh, shocker. I think this Laurel Hitchin is bad. I think Wrestler is having a change of heart and is going to work more with Red than the FBI. He's gonna break the rules, which is something we don't see Wrestler do very often in order to get to Keen.
I agree.
Maybe he'll even team up with Tom.
Ooh. like, I hate you, but this is, we both love Lizzie.
We have to do it for Lizzie.
I love the idea. So why this is cool is I kind of wondered how long can we have this FBI versus Red thing, and when we're all trying to get to Cabal. So the only way this really works is the director comes in. And so the idea of, you know, wrestler being the sort of working both sides of the fence or conflicted, like sort of having to not trusting the director, so he has to go to Red and then maybe mm-hmm. Cooper, and then Navavi sort of being in the middle, you know, like trying to like figure out, does she work for the director? Or what is these allegiances of the Red? I'm so confused.
She works for Red originally.
I can't break the goddamn thing.
I don't know.
Where can the kids find you, Julia?
Oh, kids. You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter in my hoodie with my name, Julia Carrolly, JULIACEARLEY.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter and Periscope on @JoeKBraswell. Our first Friday show. We were halfway there. One day Flippo will join us. But I'm looking pretty good on my yellow blouse situation. I said 9, by the way.
I'm such an idiot and said 12. We're 5 in. Did I say 12?
We're 5 in. 5 episodes, no Flippo. God. Thank you so much for joining us and listening to us on iTunes and watching us on YouTube. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.